Fellas, none of us being overburdened with worldly wealth, sometimes we'll play a card game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spencer's very fond of this, I know. You win the lottery. What are you buying first? You know, you buy a sports franchise. What franchise are you buying? Are you buying to run it into the ground? Are you buying it to play real-life dynasty mode? Other? Are you buying it just to change the colors to neon pink and lime green? Thank you. Go Jags. If you had, for the purposes of this thought exercise, $60,000 American, exactly, Ryan Nanny, what would you do with that money?
I'm so glad you brought up sports franchises, because my answer is adjacent to that. Today it was reported by ESPN that Dan, amongst many choices he's making, Dan Snyder is charging the franchise he owns $4.5 million to put their logo, which is also his logo, on his private plane. So I did some rough math, and I think...
So did Dan.
$60,000 is about, let's call it 1.5%. It's not quite that, but 1.5% of $4.5 million. So I'm like, okay, what is 1.5% of a plane? If the logo is 100%, what's 1.5%? And I
How
think
much is the
I
parachute could, worth semantically?
I think I could get one armrest on Dan Snyder's private plane. I think I could pay him $60,000 and make him make it put an Eagles logo on his on an armrest of his Washington Commanders.
Oh, Ryan,
private
you have
plane.
Good ideas. You have good ideas. And that's why I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
You have excellent ideas. You said, you know, you said this was speculative, but after reading this piece by Don Van Natt, a friend of the program, y'all go check it out on ESPN. I don't think it's that speculative, right?
I think he would do it. I think he would do it for 60 grand.
You came into pre-show today saying you had a speculative idea, and I don't actually think this is that far off.
Can I say this, that the actual price for an entire airplane of any sort? So low as to be disturbing.
Like, yeah. You're talking about buying, like, a little plane to take flying lessons in?
On controller.com right now, there is a 1971 Garden GY20, a.k.a. already a category inspiring less than confident vibes, experimental and home-built aircraft that one could purchase for just $18,973.
Oh, my God.
So you could have a fleet.
We've got, you know, we've been at this for a while now. I know we've got some listeners out there who are preparing to send their children out to get their first licenses, to send their kids off to college. And, you know, there for some of you, there's a sensible automobile purchase lurking somewhere this spring and summer. How mad are you going to be standing in the lot of Appomattox Toyota pricing Corollas and thinking about how you could have a homemade airplane instead?
You could have a homemade airplane. For 60 grand, we could buy three.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we could be, if the Blue Angels are the Blue Angels, we would be like Beige Purgatory. Is that the name of our air show group?
The teal demons.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Dante, they're those guys who play trumpet with their ass in hell. That's us.
Is teal too directly associated with the Jags? Let's see what the cerulean succubi.
That's good. Mauve.
The
succubi.
Blue incubus.
But one thing, there's a bunch of descriptions of the planes here. They're like, are you ready for fun, economical flying? This 1946 plane, no. No, I'm not ready for economical flying.
I don't mean to alarm anyone, but you had a notion of where to go on the internet to buy a plane just right there.
Oh, Spencer's Harrison Ford. Okay. Did we not cover that at the top? Spencer is Harrison Ford.
Shrinking is a lovely show, by the way. Congratulations on all your success.
We're very proud of it.
Moving on, Michael Serber, $60,000. Thank you, Ryan. That was a sterling contribution.
Sure.
Michael
yep.
Serber on the ones and twos. What would you do with $60,000 in a dream?
So judging on this 2004, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Bud King of Beers, number 8 Chevrolet Monte Carlo NASCAR car, which sold for $57,200 on September 17th, 2022.
Drop the link in the chat server so I can cool.
Yep. go.
So I can purchase it right now.
It's this one has already sold. But there are two Jeff Gordon NASCARs currently for sale. The average sale of these is $71,000. So really, $57,200 is the steal. But yeah, the precedent has now been set. This is not a special 2004 Dale Earnhardt Jr. NASCAR. I'm pretty sure he didn't win with this one at Dover or Daytona or Talladega or anything crazy like that. If he did, they would go up because a lot of these, you see some that are for like $215,000. So my plan here is...
You're basically losing money by not buying this.
Absolutely. So I'm buying this, and I have... After that, I have $2,800 left over. I did a quick Google search. I can get the Dale Earnhardt GM Goodwrench jacket, like fireproof jacket, for about $150. Yes. So I'm going to get that. That leaves me with quick math about $2,500. So with that $2,500, I'm going to buy gasoline for my NASCAR. So it's a triple purchase, but I will use all $60,000. For that.
Well argued.
Yeah, because that bitch is getting about 4 miles to the gallon, max.
Yep.
don't bring him down.
Just server pull it up to the Fresh Market.
I'm literally trying to gas him up. Dude, you pull up to the Fresh Market in North Carolina and that thing, king of the state.
Yeah.
King of, they're going to bring you your groceries.
They're going to line up outside the door like Downton Abbey staff.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna do what Chris O'Donnell did in Batman Forever and just roll up and be like, yeah, I'm Dale Earnhardt Jr. I got the car, see?
Batman and Robin.
It was Batman Forever that he did that, though, wasn't it?
Shit. God, I can't believe it. Oh, man. I feel like hearts.
We'll edit all this out.
It might be Batman and Robin, though. You might be right. They're both. Whew.
I didn't think Chris O'Donnell showed up until the fourth one.
No, he's in
Batman Forever.
Yeah, he's with Val Kilmer. That's when he is introduced. Yeah. Val Kilmer rescues him from the circus.
Yeah. Okay. Chris O'Donnell, too old to still be like a circus boy at that point.
Mm-hmm. He's like the circus. Man, you're the guy who hangs out at the high school after graduation, but also you're in the circus.
Yeah. At that point, you're just scared to go to DeVry.
It's like being a 37-year-old minor leaguer. It's like, this is fine, but like I think we need to move on, man.
Just a reminder that the first idea was the correct one, to make Marlon Wayans Robin and just have him be like a mechanic.
Correct. Do you know who was supposed to be Scarecrow in these films?
No, enlighten me.
Coolio.
Perfect.
What? Love it.
Why did that not happen?
Joel Schumacher, what the hell, man?
Because we live in a fallen world, Spencer.
Yeah, we do now. Jason Kirk is not here today. It is logging Tuesday at Epcot Canada.
Yeah.
He's got to pull a shift with an axe. So we have no choice but to ask Spencer Hall. Welcome back, buddy.
Who's not dead.
And a great big fuck you, by the way, to everyone who ruined that immediately last week by tagging Spencer and telling him we planned his funeral. He hasn't even heard last week's episode yet.
Nope.
And it's already ruined for him because y'all think that we will like you individually as people if you tag us. And
I'm just
boy,
happy.
Could that not be further from the truth?
I'm just happy Spencer's not dead.
Thank you. That makes one of us.
Spencer, $60,000.
So I have been perusing Bring a Trailer, and much like Server, but in a slightly different vein, for $50,000 and change, I'm going to take that up to $55,000 with moving costs. I can purchase a 1990 Lancia Delta HF Integral 16V, which was raced in Europe by driver Piero Longhi until 1993.
What country does this car originate from?
It comes from Italy. So, as you know, there's no more reliable investment than an Italian car with no backseat and a roll cage. Ugh. It's got the sick white rims. It's got the roll cage, roof vents, toe points, hatch pins. It's got the martini livery. It's got two Recaro seats that will hold you in place while you roll your way down the side of a mountain, which is what you should do in this car. It's an actual rally car with its FIA manual and the full rack of lights on the front. Yeah. So I'm going to take that up to about $55,000 with handling. And I'm going to take that other $5,000 and put it into a modest life insurance policy without telling them I just bought the car.
Hmm. Who benefits?
We'll work on that.
Okay. Just ask. It should have been Holly. The answer should have been Holly, very clearly.
Man,
got to negotiate.
All right. These are all good answers. And I'm proud of all three of you because you have much better ideas for spending $60,000 than the suggestion of this article from Realtor.com. Now, this isn't new news, but this is new to us. Who would like to read the headline that I just dropped in the chat?
I'll do it.
Now, y'all need to click on it because you need to scroll down to the bottom and see how ugly this thing is.
Tom Brady is really retiring, and now you can rent his Tampa home for $60,000 a month.
A month. Please scroll down to the bottom of this article and look at this house, which is the ugliest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It's Boy, it is a square. It is
there's
a big
a
old
lot
square.
Of gray.
It's a lot like, of gray. Oh, man. It's
the tub's nice.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a boss ass tub. I'm sorry. That's a great tub. It's got the little resting rack there.
But it doesn't. There's nowhere to rest your head. Like the rim of that tub looks really unfriendly.
Tom Brady doesn't take baths.
No, surely not. That means he would be like marinating in his own antioxidants, and that's he avoids that. But would you scroll down just like the sad last photo?
Are there umbrellas in the pool?
I actually kind of like that because I think what's supposed to be happening over there, I think that's a ledge
that's
where
a shallow,
you can like
yeah.
sit in the pool under
yeah.
an umbrella. That
under
sounds
an umbrella.
Dope.
Okay.
That might be
sure.
the only. That
or
might
if
be
that's
the,
like a swim up bar situation.
This place looks like a house.
It looks
exterior.
Like an NPC house.
It looks like exterior and interior of something you'd see in a documentary about a murder that happened in Germany.
Do you guys remember the Jennifer Lopez Billy Campbell vehicle Enough?
Yeah, sure.
Where J-Lo gets the mullet and learns kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
The awful like Marina Del Rey condo that Billy Campbell moves into after beating the shit out of J-Lo. This is that house.
To Server's point, it has lots of edges where one's head could be dashed and bloodied.
It's like an Office Depot. Like if they just put furniture in an Office Depot.
Yeah, this is a baby killing house.
Tom was discovered in a pool of blood by in the kitchen.
No, look, there's a pool with like virtual zero barrier to entry, a lot of sharp spaces, a lot of places where a kid could fall
That's
off.
True.
This is a child killing home.
This is definitely not a I have kids and they live they visit here sometimes kind
nope.
of home.
Nope. No. Far too much hazard here. Additionally, there is an advertisement for a wine cellar. Let me tell you that the most sus part of any Florida home is when they say they have a wine cellar. Additionally, I'm not trusting anything Tom Brady has in his wine cellar because, I don't know, he's got food issues. I want, if you're like, please trust a selection from the wine cellar of this 345-pound man with a jolly laugh. That's whose wine cellar I'm trusting, not Tom Brady's.
I want to see Albert Haynesworth's wine cellar.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
A defensive tackle who's like, let me show you a good cab. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
This person knows what they're doing.
Who was doing Kingsford? That's Vince Wilfork. Vince Wilfork Wines.
Correct. Yeah.
Here is a business I would patronize.
What do you think Tom Brady's house smells like?
Ooh.
Band-Aids.
Like antiseptic, but like antiseptic in that way that hospital bathrooms smell antiseptic.
Oh, you know what it smells like? Chicken breast that got washed in soap in the sink.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you Tom Brady's one of those. I bet Tom Brady's one of those like, yeah, you gotta wash your chicken before, you gotta clean your chicken with soap before you cook it.
Yeah.
No, this is absolutely cursed. And the idea of spending $60,000 a month to live anywhere in the state of Florida, much less Tampa, is a
also,
crime in
there's
itself.
There's beautiful architecture in Florida, and you have all the money in the world, and you live there? Like, what a waste. I'm offended. You're so, like, he's so bad at being rich.
I would rather have the car Cerber picked, for sure.
Yeah. Than 1 month in this house.
I would rather crash my Lancia Integral straight through this house, which I would do.
That night is young.
Clear.
I will say, if I was going to pick a month, I think I'd pick August because I'd be nude in Tom Brady's house the entirety of those 31
days. Oh, yeah. That's
days.
When you can just roll around on those concrete floors.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as it gets the slightest bit warm under your butt, you can just roll over.
These cheeks are touching everything in this house. Promise you that.
These cheeks.
All that marble. All that marble's
good. I don't even see a lot of marble. It's just concrete, which is sad.
It's cold, like his heart.
Like a really rich Sim lives here.
See,
yes, that's what it is. Yes, this is like you won. You won the Sims, and you're
home.
Yeah, it's when it's what Tom
we had
Brady
a gif of what Serper just did.
It's when Tom Brady looks at his teammates and gives them an inspirational speech of "Rollum Flollum." To the Shutdown Full Cast.
Whose voice are you doing?
Were you impersonating yourself? I don't know what happened there.
We should probably mention that we didn't actually kill... The bad news is we didn't actually kill Spencer via last week's episode. The really funny news is he got very, very sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're listening to Extra Basso, courtesy of a bangin' case of sinus cold and or what I like to call casino lung. From a long trip through the Southwest. So this is the result of that. No, it's not COVID. It's not like you take a COVID test and you're negative, and then you're like, well, what the fuck is this?
Gross is what it is.
Something else.
It's fully gross. Mm. So, no, I didn't die. So thanks, guys, for the support.
Thanks to us.
Mm-hmm. Again, you wouldn't even know about. That's true.
If our first-year, more parasocial listeners had not been like, Spencer, they're trying to kill you.
I would have felt bad. I want to be very clear about that. I didn't say how bad. I would have felt bad.
Okay, never mind. Ryan would have felt bad. We can roll with that.
I should have put you on the hook for a day or two.
That probably would have worked.
Yeah, just you know, like, not 24 hours.
If you had
hours,
had Holly 30s. Deliver it, if, like, Holly is the most convincing. So if you had Holly call me out of the blue and be like, hey, something happened. Spencer's in the hospital. We don't know what's going. Like,
I actually
we're not
almost
sure.
did call you when I heard he was sick, but just to laugh.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would have worked.
Spencer's one of those idiots who like doesn't take care of himself and never gets sick, and it's infuriating for the rest of us. Like, I think this is maybe I don't know how long we've been working together. This is like the third or fourth time I've seen you sick ever.
Yeah, and
which again is very funny because of last week's show.
Yeah. If you just said, oh, we don't know where he is, because that's entirely...
That's plausible.
That's confusing, right?
Yeah, but that feels like I would want to see a body, with all due respect. Mm. Like, you are the most likely to just be like, yeah, he just walked off one day, and that's it.
Yeah, you know...
I mean, this is how at least half the people on this show are going to die.
So,
like, I think I can very safely pin... walking off into the woods like a cat on at least me and Serber.
If your adult years, Spencer, had taken place in the 1940s or 50s, at some point you would have bailed on whatever life you had built and just started a new one somewhere. Because you could do that. It's hard to do that now. Your credit travels with you. You have a phone. Yeah. Like, there's a track record. But yeah, you 100% at some point would have moved to a new town and been like, hello, I'm... Dominic Toretto, a name I just invented in 1953.
I'm Danny Friday. Yeah.
Danny Cannell.
No, it's so much easier to do back then.
You could be
then.
A fucking idiot anywhere.
He would have just said, I'm Spencer Hall. Damn it.
God damn. Saul.
Yeah. Saul Bloom.
Saul Bloom.
God.
I do not know this man. Yeah.
Michael.
There is, if you do take a vacation to the Southwest in the winter, just know that when the weather gets real bad, it starts to look like Dead Man by Jim Jarmusch. It's like, you're out there and you're like, I could leave a body and nobody would find it. For years. Years.
How long was your vacation?
Long enough to make Jim Jarmusch sound interesting.
Yes, 6 days. 6 days.
At what day in the vacation were you like, all right, I wish this were done?
Four.
Okay, that's pretty good ratio. Like,
that's pretty
broadly
good.
Speaking,
and that was,
that's pretty good.
And that was mainly circumstantial, right? Because we got stuck up in... Well, we didn't get stuck, but like we were up in Zion National Park, and it put 8 inches of snow in a night. and there was more on the way. And at that point, I remember thinking, small hotel room, kids, this is starting to feel a little bit like The Shining. I'm going to skip. We're going to go ahead and head back to civilization.
The original blogger.
Correct. The OG blogger. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. That was very much the vibe. But got back on it for day six. So like day four or five, kind of over. Day six, fine. Fine. So family vacation, highly rated. 100, like, seriously.
Well, welcome back. Good job not dying. Yeah. For my benefit.
So he hasn't heard the show from last week, by the way. So when it comes to the back half of this episode, which we're going to do what we threatened, we are going to have to explain this to him. But first, Ryan has a different game because it's February, and that means that our psychoses get to run rampant.
So I don't know if it's because I was driving to Pensacola and back over the weekend, or because I just missed our good boy Spencer, or whatever, but I have designed a game that the three of you are going to play as a group, but really these are geared, like, this is in Spencer's wheelhouse, I think.
Okay.
You think. So here's what I did. I reached out to our buddy Matt Brown, proprietor of the Extra Points newsletter, and I needed him to give me a list of NIL collectives, and here is why. I am going to give you five groups of three names. And in each group, there is one NIL collective, there is one 90s dance hit artist, a la Real McCoy.
And glad the Real McCoy thread is making its way into the show.
And there is one, protein powder company.
Oh, so and this what is your wheelhouse, Spencer.
And what I need you to do is identify which of the three is the NIL collective.
And we are working together?
You can work together and come to a consensus. Okay. Spencer is going to be the one, and we're gonna sort of do this like Family Feud. Spencer is the one giving the answers. You can work with your team, but ultimately, Spencer, you are the one who has to decide what the NIL collective is of the three choices.
Okay.
Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay. This is your first group.
This is terrific. I love this already.
We surveyed!
All right, your choices are No Mercy, Maddie Baddies, and Siren Labs.
Jesus.
Okay, so Siren Labs.
No Mercy.
And Maddie Baddies.
Maddie Baddies. Okay, so Siren Labs is going to be the music group, right? It's going to be the... No Mercy sounds like the pre-workout, and Maddie's Baddie sounds like the NIL group. That's my...
I agree with the...
But who's Maddie?
Doesn't matter.
All right. I was going to say that No Mercy... The only thought that I had heading into this was that No Mercy sounds like an amazing thing to put in your body, but that would make it a perfect protein powder.
That's like, these
because the first thing I thought was like, oh, no way is No Mercy the protein powder. But then I was like, that'd be an amazing collective or protein powder.
It would be, but this also encompasses pre-workouts, correct?
Okay.
I think I only went with protein powders, but they're broadly speaking, they're like brand names or manufacturers, so it could
Spencer's
cover
already
both.
Getting upset at you splitting the difference here.
Yeah, I know.
But I will
so is Jane Costin somewhere, by the way.
But
Jane is calling in.
I will also tell you, flipping those, like if you flip them and you made No Mercy, or if you made Signal Labs the protein powder.
Siren Labs,
right? Yeah. And then you made No Mercy.
Yeah,
the band, that would also work. Mm. In fact, like,
no, I like the I have more confidence in your first one.
Okay, let's go with that.
Okay, you only need to pick the NIL, so you have successfully done that. Maddie Baddies is a Wisconsin-based NIL collective. Maddie being Madison.
Okay.
No Mercy is the musical group. The song they are famous for is "Where Do You Go," the one that has sort of like Spanish
My love.
Guitar.
Yes, that's the one.
Started Tampa as fuck on.
It's gonna continue.
Hey, point of order before we proceed any further down the Real McCoy's Primrose path. How would you spell the way they say the word "talk"?
T-A-
in the verses of that song.
TAWWLK.
See, I was going to say T-W-A...
W-L-K?
T-T-W-A-W-L-K.
That's, you know what? As long as there's multiple W's, I think all interpretations are
like, where
legit.
Is that supposed to be from? Aren't they Swedish?
Yeah. They are.
My Maybe love.
This is what they think New Jersey says.
I want to know.
Yeah, where that's the one.
God, we need folder.
Number two. Your choices are The Hut Group, Culture Beat, and Mission Control. Which one is the NIL Collective?
Ooh.
If the Hut Group isn't a Tennessee collective, I'm going to be extremely upset, as in Jabba. I think Mission Control is music.
It feels like music. What's that last one? Mission Control and...
I clicked away, I'm sorry. Culture Beat.
Yeah, see, there's no way culture beat isn't like, that can't be a protein powder, right?
Mission Control is probably the protein powder.
It's made from
Mission Control is a protein powder. Culture Beat's a musical group, and then the Hut Group is.
Yeah, they're trying to make it sound respectable.
Cerber, how does that sound?
This one I have no beat on whatsoever. So I
feel like we have an okay. I feel like we have an okay beat. My confidence is at like 65% here. Ryan, we'll go with that.
Also, you've successfully like followed the rules of the game for two questions in a row, so we got to be happy with that no matter what.
Sickness resets the mind.
Mission Control is the NIL collective for the UCF Knights.
For UCF? Oh, okay.
Citronauts, you fooled us again.
Yeah,
Culture,
well done.
Culture Beat
fucking
is the,
assholes.
Culture Beat is the musical group.
Oh, are we ready to talk about UCF?
Nah, fuck them.
Do we need to take a break?
And the Hut Group is the musical group?
The Hut Group is a protein powder manufacturer.
What? Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Culture Beat's big hit in the 90s was Mr. Vain.
I don't remember that one.
You probably do if you'd heard it. They all sort of sound the same as the problem.
Yeah, okay. In addition to growing up during the 90s, I was also an exchange student in Sweden, so I feel like I should be better at this part.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You still got 60. One.
Okay.
All right, next up. Your choices are Who Rocks the House, Real to Real, and Garden of Life.
Real to Real is music.
Garden of Life's the protein powder. So
A.
Yeah. A, that's our NIL.
Who Rocks the House is the Utah Gymnastics NIL collective.
Fuck
and
yes.
And you're correct on the other ones.
I love this game, right?
Thank you. Like I said, I
we could
definitely
do this
had
every week.
You in mind. All right. Number four. Your choices are Heart, Mind, Soul, Swolverine, and Planet Soul.
Planet Soul is okay.
Okay.
We know Planet Soul.
Yeah. So Planet Soul is our musical group. Yeah.
Swolverine is the...
This feels like a trap.
Protein powder, wouldn't you?
It does. Think?
No, it feels like a trap. What
it
if
does
it, what
feel
if it's
like
the
a
Michigan,
trap.
What if it's like the Michigan wrestling
the
NIL
team.
Collective?
But it's also an invitation to overthink. And what's the first one again?
Heart, mind, soul.
God, that might be the protein.
I'm thinking Swolverine is some kind of like Michigan strength.
Yeah, let's do it.
Program.
Yeah, no, I'm like okay that. With going that because I'd rather honestly. I'd rather steer into that than it be a protein powder.
Yeah.
Swolverine is in fact a protein powder. Heart, Mind, Soul is the Creighton NIL.
No, that's so hearty. Jesus, Midwestern. Creighton. Fuck you, Creighton.
All right, last one. You've done very well. I want to be clear.
This
even
is a
when
great
you've missed,
game.
You've been very close, and I love
can
all the.
We play
logic.
This every week.
We potentially
we'll never
can.
Run out of protein powders.
Last group. KWS, Ghost, and Mass Strategies.
Mass Strategies is protein.
Mass Strategies has to be. And if it's not, that's a shame that it's not. So Mass Strategies has to be a protein powder. KWS and what's the other one?
Ghost.
Ghost feels like the musical act KWS.
Oh,
feels
I
like
don't
the,
know, man.
I'm going Oppo on that.
No.
You're going Oppo? Okay.
Yeah,
I
think
KWS.
Am I thinking ATC and like transposing that onto KWS?
No, I'll go, no, I can go with that. Like, I'm fine if the group consensus is that.
Because then you're right if it's the other way. That's why you're okay with it. Let's just be clear, Stephen Hartzell.
Oh, no. No, I'm going to ignore the two fouls on this play and go ahead and go with the KWS being the collective and Ghost. Or, sorry, with Ghost being the collective and KWS being the band.
KWS is the band. Their song was Please Don't Go.
Don't go! Yeah.
That's correct. Ghost is a protein powder.
Oh, whoa! Shit.
Mass Strategies is the Kansas Jayhawks NIL collective.
Wow.
Oh, clever trap. Clever trap that we didn't even see.
I adored that game.
Thank you.
That was great.
Hey, you all did great. I'm very proud of you. I am mostly delighted that we live in a world where so many NIL collectives sound like they could be protein powder companies or 90s dance music groups.
This is my favorite game since Vanderbilt football player or two Pottery Barn couches.
That's all I got. That's my game. We can play the bigger one now.
I have been going through collective sites for a thing that we're going to do on Channel 6. And let me tell you, somebody got to them and said, we'll make a website for you. Because a full 40 to 50% of them have the exact same website.
Oh, like
somebody just. Just we'll hook you up. We'll make it work, bro.
And I assume they're probably charging them an outlandish rate for that.
It would make you sick, yeah.
Like, it's just $60,000, bro. That's it.
It's just, yeah, see?
That's like one month at Tom Brady's house.
That's one Georgia visit.
Yeah, we'll pay. It's exactly what we would charge you to live in a home that Ryan Nanny has put his cheeks over every square inch of the upholstery.
Even the ceiling. It's wild. The hot water heater. Cheeks on it.
We put him up there like a Swiffer, baby. Just on a pole. Applying the cheeks.
Betty, come on.
You're going to get pink eyes just by walking in this house.
Write the check. What other house is going to turn my eyes a different color? I'm in.
Clear hearts, pink eyes.
Lose.
Except he did. He lost his wife.
and to the Cowboys.
And a playoff game.
Yeah.
Which one's going to burn him.
So, Spencer, last week.
Yes.
We got into talking about, you've seen a lot of these circulating. Some of our favorites have been done by Bud Elliott. Done by Andy Staples, people attempting to name out what the permanent rivals for the new SEC Super Conference is going to be once we expand to a 16-team league.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to do this last week just to demonstrate how quickly everything gets squirrely.
Yeah.
And about midway through, we said, haha, wouldn't it be funny to do this for the Big Ten? Betty, are you going to do this for the rest of the show?
Yeah.
So we have gone ahead and followed through on that threat. Jason is not here, but he has asked to draft for UCLA and has sent me his draft board in absentia.
Yeah, because when we say Big Ten, we are including USC and UCLA.
Yeah, sorry, we're doing this is the 16-team future that
long,
we are
long
yeah.
time.
That we are
powers.
Targeting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only problem with this, by the way, is that in order to make the math work, we actually do have to include Maryland. And I know that we're all, but we got through it with Missouri last week, so I've got confidence. So Spencer, how this works is, I am commissioning, and I am determining the draft order, and we are going to pick three permanent rivals for each team. I have shared into your Google Docs a big board if you want to keep track of who is where. There is a list over to the right of who is available. And where possible, because it's funnier this way, we're going to try and do this realistically.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually, it leads to more problems when you do it this way.
Also, we know a lot less off the top of our heads about the old oak and stove rivals in the Big Ten.
Okay.
So there's a greater opportunity for people to get mad at us, which we absolutely love. So there are four of us here today, and you guys are each going to take four teams, and I am going to have Jason pick one team, and then I'm going to take the final three.
Before we jump in, Spencer, one of the of Jason, me, and Serber, one of us got in trouble doing this last time. Got yelled at.
Okay.
Who do you think it was, and what matchup do you think it was that caused the trouble?
Got yelled at? I think it would be you.
Why do you gotta be bullshit?
Nope.
No. Was it Holly?
Holly did not yell at herself.
No. No. Did I give up? You're gonna have to tell me the whole story.
Serber picking on behalf of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tried to pick Vanderbilt with his first choice. I bring that up to bring up a useful. I bring this up by way of explanation. When you pick a team, when a team goes off the board, as long as they have two games left to play, you can pick somebody else.
Three picks to remove a team from the board.
Right. Serber thought that because Florida and Georgia and Alabama already had a game picked, Serber thought he was not supposed to pick them, so he picked Vanderbilt.
Right.
Did Tennessee end up playing Vanderbilt in our schedule? Yes, they did.
I thought Serber was fucking with me.
Yes.
Because you weren't here to do it.
No.
And I got a little angry. Also, by the way, after everybody else but me hung up last week, Serber did confess that if he had thought of it, he would have been fucking with me, and he just didn't think of it. So I feel a little less bad than I did a week ago about the screaming that ensued.
No, I am saying this only in the naive hope that I will head this off at the pass, even though I won't. I understand that there's still going to be a problem here.
Yeah, but a team's only out when they've been picked three times yes. Because these are rivalry picks and a rotating schedule. And
So we can our first three picks can all be the same team, and then they're just
because we don't want me to yell at Spencer.
That would feel weird on this podcast.
Yeah,
it
heavens.
Would.
We don't want Spencer to not pay attention.
Who is already in trouble today because he stole my good nail polish remover. Use on his Warhammer dolls.
I had to strip some paint.
Well,
it's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Okay, Holly, who's going first?
So I actually want to put this question of draft order to you guys.
Okay.
With the SEC, we did a very like loosey goosey power poll order. You know, we started with Georgia, and we ended with Vanderbilt. And I can't decide if it would be funnier to do it that way here, or if, because it's the Big Ten and we have to be fair, we go in alphabetical order.
Oh, I have a third idea, if you give me 1 second. Okay. I think we should use the U.S. News rankings.
Yes!
Oh, that's sinister.
So let's put UCLA and Michigan up at the top. Okay.
Let me see.
Did I tell you guys that I actually did get, this is not a bit, I did get in real life when this was announced, I found out about the Big Ten taking UCLA from a Michigan alum who, a rather prominent Michigan alum, it's not Jane, she would never do this, who texted me furious that Michigan was going to have competition for the top U.S. News and World Report in the conference because UCLA is always like jostling with them up there as a better public school. And this person was livid that they were going to have to, that they weren't going to have like a cakewalk to the best U.S. News and World Report in the Big Ten.
That's beautiful.
Oh, so if we're going by the most recent reports, what is the order?
I've got the list up. Your first pick is going to go to Northwestern University.
That's really funny because when I was listing all of these teams, I forgot one and it was driving me absolutely insane. And Spencer named 13 teams before we realized we forgot Northwestern. All right.
Northwestern's. So I'll give you your order. Northwestern.
Ryan, since you so thoughtfully and smartly came up with the draft order, why don't you pick Northwestern's first permanent rival?
Deep
well, been wasted
exhale.
By my own petard here, haven't I?
Yeah.
I would base these entirely on trophies, so I'm glad it's not just me in here.
So Northwestern plays Illinois for a trophy.
What is the trophy you could get the most splinters from? I'm not even really making fun. I wish the SEC did this more. This is the thing that the Big Ten has that I really envy.
I think the answer has to be Illinois.
Yeah.
I think it has to be Illinois. So playing for the Land of Lincoln Trophy. I don't even know what it looks like. Oh, it's the stovepipe hat. It's the it's the Monopoly piece.
Land's
so, yeah,
old
sure.
stovepipe hat.
yeah. Yep. So go ahead and give me that.
Okay. And
your next school
would be next in the U.S. News and World Report.
Is UCLA.
Oh, so close, UCLA. All right, Jason Kirk is drafting in absentia for UCLA. And his first pick, and I am reading this verbatim, is USC SMH.
Okay.
Don't believe we need really any further explanation there.
Holly, the next school picking will be the University of Michigan.
University of Michigan, Serber. Why don't you draft for those boys in blue?
It's Ohio State or Ohio.
Ohio State University. Man, it's a good thing that Ohio State has Michigan up there to snag that big high pick for them too. Because I'm guessing it's going to be a while before we get to them.
your next school is USC.
Spencer.
Ah, a natural match. USC and me. Since we already have UCLA designate, this means
like,
I get to
you dip. Sound like a kindly ogre in a fantasy novel. I can't get over this.
Not many are fortunate enough to get my bridge, for I charge no toll but wisdom.
Can you just say Treebeard, some call me?
Treebeard, some call me.
Thank you.
For USC, I'm going to go ahead and let's just get fucking weird from the jump.
Now, they already have their one rival, which is UCLA, mm-hmm. So you're picking their second rival.
Uh-huh. And I'm not a nice person.
We are trying to do this as realistically as possible just to demonstrate.
Yes, but purely from the perspective of the team you're picking for. So it doesn't have to be like, the other team would want this. It's just USC
You're picking
pick
your best thing as like, if you were, sorry, this is another thing we should have mentioned. You are drafting to the best of your abilities as you imagine USC would draft.
You are Lynn Swann's best friend.
I have one answer and one answer only.
Yes,
the answer
you do.
Is Ohio State.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
That is right.
Yep. That is a money game.
You want a money game and a classic every single year, year in and year out.
Because part of the reason we're drafting top to bottom with power is A, because this is kind of how it works. There's no way Mizzou gets to pick who they play.
Yeah.
And B, it's actually funnier than trying to make jokes.
Yeah. No, they've got this is an automatic pull.
So
Ohio State.
That is so here's a point to play for those of you at home. And as with last week, we will post this draft board in the Reddit when we're done. We have gone through one round of the commissioners, and two of the schools already have two of their slots filled.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is a great poll because I really want to see the hey, let's Lincoln Riley. You want to see what some real football looks like?
So Ryan, Wisconsin, back to you. Who is school five?
Yes, Wisconsin is next in the rankings.
Wisconsin's a better school than Purdue and Penn State.
That is what U.S. News and World Report.
I love this.
The unquestioned authority. No, they're kind of bullshit. But
listen, on a vibes level, you really cannot go much wronger than Wisconsin. It really might be my favorite football trip in the country.
Are you picking for Wisconsin?
You are picking for Wisconsin.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
I'm doing the very scientific thing of going counterclockwise in my own Zoom window.
Right. Okay. Okay. We're good.
So all teams are still on the board.
Yeah. I think, it's Minnesota. This is easy.
Mm-hmm.
They played this a million times. They play for an axe. Yeah, it's Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily it's super competitive, but I don't think Wisconsin cares about that part, frankly.
Truly one of the best road trips I have ever been to. This is the thing I love about Wisconsin, and I've said this before. This is not a paid advertisement, but I've covered events in Wisconsin when it was August and 95 degrees, and I've covered events in Wisconsin in November when it was 12 degrees with lake effect snow. Grandest time on both ends of the spectrum. I'm not really sure there are any other schools that I could say that about. Just delightful.
Next
Illinois. Is me picking Illinois.
Yep.
There's a lot of schools that are better than Penn State. It's weird.
Illinois is sneaky, freaky smart.
I know. They got a shit ton of engineering programs there too, right? So Illinois' first rival is Northwestern, playing for ye old stovepipe hat. Illinois' other rivals, Purdue?
Yes.
Everyone's gonna get mad at us when we don't I respect these trophies so much. There's just so many different trophies, and it's hard to remember all of them. Illinois and Purdue play for a cannon.
Yeah. I think the other one would be the Illibuck trophy.
Yeah, and I'm just So if you're Illinois, you know what? I have to draft as though I were Illinois. I need to take the Illibuck trophy there because that's probably a bigger money game, right?
Yeah.
Also, it's a turtle. And it was originally a live turtle. So
yeah, there is that. Okay, so Ohio State is Illinois' second rival. And Ohio State is, and Spencer, we got to watch this last week. It is wild how the order in which the teams come off the board is faintly like its own power ranking.
Yeah.
So with that, we have made six picks, and Ohio State is donezo with Michigan, USC, and Illinois.
Which isn't too bad, I would say.
I like this. This is a really good combination for them because they have, they have their traditional rival, they have a huge marquee cross-country money game, and they have what I'm going to call a competitive balance game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Much as we, in general, a competitive balance game, it still feels so weird to say, much as we loved watching last year's Illinois offense.
So, Ohio State, Penn State is not happening. Ohio State, Michigan State is not happening. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not every year, anyway.
Right. Okay. Ohio State was going
to
be next.
Of those other schools. So, Ohio State
was
going to
be next in the rankings. And just below them,
Serber is picking for
Purdue.
Purdue currently has no rivalry spots filled, and Cerber, every team except Ohio State is available for selection.
Yeah, I correct me if I'm wrong here. Like, I am tempted somewhat to pick Michigan because, or one of the California schools, but I think it's Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Purdue's big deal, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the in-state rival. They're the only two big ones in the state, right?
Yeah.
If you're drafting as Purdue, I do believe that this is where you would go first in the absence of the Ohio State.
Thank you.
Hi, Mona. Did Mona hear Betty?
No, she's just a hound. They're all they're like mushrooms. They're all connected to the same thing. All hounds are connected.
Spencer's next.
Spencer is drafting.
Wait, what? Did I draft us out of order?
I don't think so.
Oh, I was supposed to go after you. Yeah.
Okay, well, you can go next. This if is you fine. Want.
Yeah, well, go next.
Cerber already went. All right, Cerber traded up to take Indiana for Purdue. This is a very well run draft. Gonna wait until we get the stick for the dog out of the bag, so that she shuts up for a minute. Who is after Purdue?
Who's picking? You or Spencer?
Me.
Holly, you're picking for Rutgers.
Whoo! Bow, 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 bow. Ooh. Dang.
I know the answer to this.
No, I was just thinking. Here's another Ohio State game that isn't going to happen. And they can't exactly play Princeton.
I think there's only one choice here, but I'm not going to.
Penn State?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that this is what Rutgers would take.
Yeah.
It is also wild that we are, like, this many picks in, and this is the first we're hearing about from Penn State, or from half of the teams that are supposed to be the Big Four.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what happens to that dynamic, by the way. Like, what happens to... So, like, you think Big Four and the Big Ten right now, and you think... Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State. What happens to specifically Penn State and Michigan State when USC and UCLA enter that picture, right? Because if I'm Ohio State and Michigan, I'm not feeling that threatened. Semantically, that's the word I was just trying to think of.
Stupid. I guess, I mean, this is going to be a problem for all the conferences that get super big, right? Like, yeah. I think maybe this is LSU.
Because, like, I don't think anybody in the upper half of the SEC feels threatened by Texas and Oklahoma coming in.
I get, yeah, maybe.
Although
not.
That might change.
I mean, every bit maybe of a schedule, every schedule starts with intent and ends with accident.
Yeah.
Right. So you're just going to end up with some that are just fill in spaces, and those are going to be mostly valueless.
You are creating room at the very least for teams that are not used to finishing, let's say, fourth or fifth in a division to do that, right?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for the.
No, you're fine.
Cerber is picking next. No, Spencer is picking next. Doing great. I haven't made any typos on the board so far, unlike last week.
Fear the turtle, Spencer. You're picking for Maryland.
So Maryland is another school.
For the purposes
better.
Of this episode only, Maryland is in the Big Ten.
Yeah, so Maryland is another school that's better than Penn State.
Yeah,
it would seem so. Yeah,
better than Iowa.
Yes,
great.
I'll also tell you just because I saw it, Maryland is better than Syracuse.
Yeah, Iowa. Which, by the way,
Syracuse in the Big Ten? No,
has an admission.
No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. This is my fault.
You know, this is an upsetting subject.
I shouldn't do that while we're picking Maryland, especially like crossing the streams.
Maryland probably takes the second Penn State slot, right?
Maryland, well, this is a traditional rivalry, if you'll consult Wikipedia. Don't look at the record in the rivalry, but it is an official rivalry. So, yes, we would...
Like, I'm Maryland, this is who I'm taking.
You got to take it, yeah, because this is a money game for you. So, okay. I think you have to go ahead and take it.
So Penn State stance card is right now Rutgers and Maryland.
Well, maybe they'll do better. Maybe they can actually, like, win the division.
I was going to say...
Which, I don't know when the last time that happened was. Don't look at me.
Okay, Minnesota is next on the list.
Dude, we're just playing
Minnesota.
The, like...
Ryan, this is yours.
Minnesota already has Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I think
all schools except Ohio State remain on the board.
The Jug is good. That is a tempting one.
The Jug.
I think it's probably, well, but Floyd of Rosedale is really good too. I think the move, if you're Minnesota, is probably to take Michigan, because you're not sure Michigan will still be there later. And I think I'm going to hope that if I'm Minnesota, that Iowa ends up rounding out my dance card, but I think it's Michigan.
Well, and also you can, you know, you're still going to play them some years.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
But you're right. You're right. You're going for the big money game there. And also, Michigan had only been selected once so far, so Michigan actually still has a remaining slot. They have Ohio State and Minnesota right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good call. All right.
I got to go back to my U.S. news. Please hold. Pitt and Virginia Tech and A&M and UConn and UMass.
A&M?
And we're still loading. Yep. All right. Indiana is next on our list.
God, there are so many schools above Penn State. Let's see. I am drafting for Indiana again somehow. They have Purdue on their board. I am vamping because I'm trying to think of what trophy I'm forgetting.
They have the Spittoon with Michigan State.
That's the one I'm thinking of. All the schools are still on the board except for Ohio State. So here's a genuine question. They already have Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going for a money game here, or are we going for a rivalry game here, or are we trying to find the highest combination of the two?
Ooh, the dangerous question is, what would Purdue do?
Like the old Oak, this is, we're drafting for Indiana.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And this
Indiana
is the old Oaken bucket has already been accounted for. Like, basically I'm trying to say, does Indiana try and snag Michigan, or do they take Michigan State?
Should Indiana take UCLA at this point
I'm going to go ahead and open up my secret playbook. My second and third choices were going to be governed by a Midwesterner's desire to see the West Coast every other year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a possibility.
That's a very
UCLA is a good, also that's a good, that's if you're taking this not just for football.
Yes.
That's if a strong,
if,
like,
if you really want to argue
other
about
sports, this is a
70s
good, like,
basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you're gonna play this game, if this game is deep into November, you want that West Coast shot.
Nope, that's strong. So let's see. Yeah, and Michigan State hasn't been picked yet, so there's every chance that it's still gonna be there.
Yeah.
Michigan State, Iowa, and Nebraska so far have no selections.
And
every school except Ohio, this is going a lot more equitably than did the SEC. Every school except Ohio State is still on the board.
Michigan State is our next selector.
Serber, why don't you pick for Michigan State?
It's a no-brainer, Michigan.
Yeah.
They were really sweating that one, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they are praying for, you know, Indiana.
So that takes... That takes Michigan and Ohio State off the board.
Okay. Both with, I think, comparable. Nah, maybe. It depends on how good Michigan State is and maybe how good Illinois is. Okay, that's fine.
Boy, this is driving home, by the way, in terms of devaluation of the overall brand.
Right.
It's really pushing Michigan State down.
This is kind of why we started. We did this like kind of on the fly last week just to kind of like watch how it works out. And it's amazing how fast you can sink.
This is making me feel like Mark D'Antonio was pretty good at the coaching part of his job. Because, damn.
I take you so much more seriously right now with your voice. Just as a quick aside, and then we can get back
to it. I'm
going to
try to keep it here.
I think he sounds like Chris Pratt trying to do Chris Hemsworth in Guardians.
This is my voice.
Holly, we finally arrived. Penn State is here.
Ah, Serber.
Tied at number 77.
Spencer gets to draft for Penn State.
Yeah.
Who only has one selection left.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, we are dominating the
one selection left. You currently have Rutgers and Maryland, so hooray for competitive balance.
Had Ohio State and just had Michigan go off the board, so you can't
They're taking USC, right? Because they want to be Ohio State.
It's also a Rose Bowl-y type thing.
Also, so. James Franklin.
I'm gonna look at it this way. Right now, we are currently dominated by kids from Del Mar. Like the schedule, we're facing a bunch of kids from Delmarva who use chewing tobacco. Like that's a lot of guys who dip, right? A lot of Dave Matthews Band fans. We need to diversify here and get a different kind.
Dave Matthews Band fan.
Yeah.
Also, we need that West Coast swing because I know James Franklin's thinking about recruiting at all times. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and pick up USC.
Yeah.
So USC is now off the board.
And so is Penn State. Wow, okay. That happened fast.
Ooh, boy.
So over on the right-hand side of the draft board, by the way, I have is the list of the teams that are still available as you go through.
So Penn State's three permanent opponents are Rutgers, Maryland, and USC.
Jeez. That is
so this is none of you. When did Penn State join the Big Ten? Like 1990? Am I roughly in the straight? So
yeah.
Okay. So good list of important historic Big Ten rivalry games here we've got with these three.
Hey man, you think James Franklin can't make some kind of hash out of playing the oldest team in college football?
Sure. Sure.
But we're sure it's not the Land-Grant trophy that they're going to want. It says they've been playing that game since 1914. Mm.
Too bad.
Here's a question. Here, I would answer that question with a question. Would Penn State value the Land-Grant trophy over like playing Pitt if they were like playing Pitt again every year?
I don't know.
Treblaw, sound off in the comments.
I'll tell you what, Cerber. I think if this was their second pick, if they had one more spot to fill, I think they would take that over USC. Knowing that they only have one pick to make and that they've already drawn Rutgers and Maryland, which is not going to do a lot for them.
Ooh, who won it last, too? Who won that game last year?
The Land-Grant?
Yeah.
Had to have been Penn State.
So that makes it even better. They keep the trophy.
Because now they have gotcha left.
For a couple years, probably, this way.
Yeah.
They're like, we got this for 2 years now. Fuck
yeah.
Oh,
I like this.
Also, Penn State, just as an institution, historically, as a former independent, not really the most
they're
like,
not super emotional about
bound tradition bound
no like I mean program.
Look
Pitt's a good
look
example
at
of
the
that.
Ease with which they let you know the Pitt rivalry, the West Virginia rivalry, like they're not super uptight about
beholden to these traditions. Yes, I agree with that. Okay. All right, so we have two schools left to rank, and by giving you the next one you will know who the worst school in the U.S. news rankings is.
But they're in the
AAU. It should come at no surprise, giving earlier, I think on an earlier episode, we talked about, what is it, AAU accreditation or whatever, that one of these schools lost. Iowa is the next pick, followed by Nebraska at the bottom.
Let's see, who picked Penn State?
I did.
All right. Ryan, come on down to Iowa. Three slots. Iowa and Nebraska both have all three slots available.
Demand, baby.
And your list of available teams is to the right.
So this is where I'm picking Minnesota. This is where Floyd matters. And I think that's also what... Yeah, that will also make Minnesota happy. So I think this is one of the easier decisions.
Yeah, that leaves Minnesota with a slate of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Iowa.
Ooh, that's hardy.
That is hardy.
Well, and also, like, that's not a difficult travel schedule. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Nebraska, then, to me.
The only school. All right, so we're at Nebraska. Every other school, except Iowa, who just picked, every other school had been on someone else's dance card. Nebraska has nobody at this point.
Nebraska has nobody.
I know people say that we're too mean to Nebraska, but also maybe Nebraska's too mean to Nebraska. Did you think about that?
With three slots open, one could truly call this a triple option.
So who are we looking at an actual in-conference rivalry right here? Like we got an Iowa, we got a Minnesota, we got a Wisconsin.
We got a Wisconsin. I think those are it.
Yeah, they have so many teams that they call their rivals that aren't in their conference.
Right, right.
Let's see. Which game is the Bits of Broken Chair Trophy?
That's Minnesota, I think.
Yeah, Minnesota. It is the one that has also happened the most times, too. 63.
But Minnesota's not available. Minnesota's full.
Oh, shit. Oh, God, we've lost the Bits of Broken Chair Trophy.
It's the Heroes Trophy is their next most played game with 53 meetings between them and Iowa.
Heroes Trophy. Is that the one that they just played with Children of the Corn?
That's a good one because it's also the Thanksgiving week game, and it's just terrible, and... I don't know that Nebraska... All right, well, here's
Wisconsin is the Freedom Trophy, which also doesn't help.
Is it possible Nebraska would want to avoid all of these? Is it possible Nebraska would just want to avoid Iowa because they fucking hate playing Iowa?
Yeah. You know what? In that case, I'm going to give them Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, and now we go all the way back up to the top, and Serber, you are taking Northwestern's second slot. They have Illinois.
All right, just need to do a quick peek here.
And available teams are to the right.
Michigan is not available. It looks like all their rivals that they could take otherwise have been taken.
Super League.
Is it UCLA?
Yes, it 100% is.
I think it 100%
is. Yeah, and that takes UCLA off the board.
It is.
That means UCLA's conference slate, by the way, is USC, Indiana, and Northwestern.
Oh God,
gonna suck to go. Gonna suck to lose five games against this guys.
Oh, we do love to see it, Spencer. Michigan is next and has been completely, Michigan is next and has been completely spoken for. So has UCLA, reverse those. So has USC. So you are down to taking Wisconsin's third slot. They have Minnesota and Nebraska.
Let's see. Well, I'm going to be real honest. Wisconsin built its program off of some extremely advantageous scheduling. Mm-hmm. We have strong brand presence with the Minnesota and Nebraska rivalries. I feel pretty good about that. I'm torn between wanting tradition and the easiest game I can pull off the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's both.
Go ahead.
Also, new coach. You might as well, you know. They've broken their lineage and brought in a new regime.
Yeah, and I do also kind of want opposing fans who are going to show up because I'm kind of thinking.
But you already have Minnesota and Nebraska for that.
They're real good about that. But you know what? I'm gonna try to in my. This is like playing Dungeons and Dragons when you're like, what would the wizard do? And I'm like, well, what would the Wisconsin AD do? And I think they're gonna try to shoot the gap between. People who will show up in a game I think I can win every year. And I think that's Michigan State.
Okay.
Okay. I know.
I don't hate it.
Iowa's probably the one that everybody would make there. I'm a little worried about how consistently good Iowa is.
No, but that's an okay case.
So I'm going to make slightly progressive choice for Michigan State.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Serber?
I was gonna say Iowa. They've met 96 times, and I mean, it's just like, are they going to ever be anything different than they are right now? I don't know.
They don't seem to want to be.
Yeah. So that seems to be the easiest potential matchup Like, I don't want any part of Michigan State every few years.
The other choice
I don't want to go anywhere where the weather forecast is raining tacks.
Wisconsin has played Minnesota the most. The team they've played the second most is Northwestern. Played them more than Iowa. It's not like it's not a trophy game. Doesn't have any particular trappings to it.
I think here's the I'm not sassing, although it sounds like I'm sassing. Does anybody but people like us care about how many times a rivalry game has been played?
I think it depends on the game.
This is when we have these discussions though, like this is the one statistic that I think the fandoms at large probably care about the least.
So my argument would be more for Northwestern in this slot would be reasonably confident that that's a win every year. Mm-hmm. And of the road venues that you can go to, like you can sell your fans on, like you get to go to Chicago every other year. Isn't that fun?
Nobody's coming the other way though.
But you don't care about that. This is the 1 o'clock game.
Is this the game where you bundle it?
This is the noon game where you can bring your kids because it costs $6 a ticket or something. But no, I think Michigan State's a fine choice. I'm not trying to overrule you here.
It's a great looking lineup for Wisconsin, given what's available to them. Really strong. It's hard to argue against.
I will say this. Playing Iowa is a pain in the ass. Just if I'm going, well, who are we looking at? The kind of brand of football that's been successful at Iowa is a pain in the ass. The kind of brand of football at Michigan State has largely been an exception to the rule in an otherwise up and down, you know, often disastrous sort of history as a program. Mm.
I'll say something in your favor of this pick. If you were to say, what are three games that Wisconsin could win, and I would have no idea if that meant if they were good or not, like good. Minnesota, Nebraska, Michigan State is like a really good three where you're like, cool, maybe that means they're like competing for the Big Ten and maybe that means they're winning seven games.
Managing expectations and getting to 9 wins, baby. This program is Outback Bowl bound. That is the Wisconsin dream.
R.I.P.
I know. I'm not going to ever call it anything but the Outback
Bowl. It's fine.
Never changing.
Why should you? All right. Are we setting this one in stone?
Yeah.
All right. Ryan, back to you. We are down to the third pick for Illinois. They have Northwestern and Ohio State.
Okay.
This is very Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Not enough. Too much. Mm-hmm. Where's their right cam?
Yeah. I think it's Purdue. Yeah, I think it's Purdue. Of the available options, I think you would rather play Purdue than Iowa every year for a variety of reasons. So yeah, I feel fine with that.
I am actually scheduled to pick next for Purdue, and I was going to take Illinois.
Okay, cool.
Let's see. That leaves Illinois is done with a slate of Northwestern, Ohio State, and Purdue. Seems to prop Illinois up rather nicely, which I can't believe we don't hate, but last year was what it was. Ohio State is full with a card of Michigan, USC, and Illinois. This brings it down to Purdue with Indiana, Illinois, and blank. What on earth am I going to give to y'all? This is where I think I'll probably take Northwestern and do like a semi smart kids game. Sure. Except does Purdue as an athletic department really care about aggressive scheduling? Like, do you want something that sounds like big and big tenfold, or do you want to have a nice trip and sleep in your own bed?
Let me answer that question. What is the last time you remember, like, oh, wow, Purdue scheduled a banger home and home with somebody?
Right, that's what I'm asking. Because, like, I feel like looking at the slate they have right now, which is Indiana and Illinois, I'm like, well, they need to get out of town. They need a Nebraska. They need a such. But also, I'm just like, Northwestern sounds cozy.
I I think that's totally reasonable, frankly.
And they also have two trophy games already. Yeah. Here with Indiana and Illinois on their slate. All right. I don't have a really good reason for it besides, like, sleepy time tea vibes. But there we go. So that takes Northwestern to a complete dance card with Illinois, UCLA, and Purdue. That's probably right about their level. And Purdue with Indiana, Illinois, and Northwestern. Oh, Purdue and UCLA, you guys are the same. That's so
cute. We've always thought so.
I don't know. Serber, you are now picking for Rutgers, the remaining pickings of schools. Rutgers has two slots left. The remaining pickings are rather slim, and they are listed to the right.
I think I'm going to take on a strategy that Spencer employed earlier, which is like who will come to my game from another school and give me money, and I'm picking Maryland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, just on based on proximity alone, the fact that it's drivable.
These schools are in the ACC corridor.
Yeah.
And Maryland takes.
This is a good. That's like a good quarantine strategy too. It's like you two have to play games, so we're going to make you play one against each other.
Right.
Also, yeah. Can we show up? Can we get drunk on a train? Remain drunk. Attend the game drunk, and then go home on the train drunk. Yes, that's a good game.
God, that actually sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So, Serber. Spencer, it is over to you to select the third slot for Maryland, which has Penn State and Rutgers.
Ooh, I have, yeah. Okay.
You have the opportunity to do something really mean. I think Ryan and I just had the exact same thought.
I want to air that thought. I don't want to lose it. So, Ryan, what was that thought?
My thought was Indiana. I don't think it was a mean thought necessarily, but, like...
What's the thought for you?
My thought was to send them to play Nebraska because I can't ever remember Nebraska's in the Big Ten either.
Yeah.
I will say I appreciate that we have protected Nebraska from Northwestern, the bully that keeps beating.
Hey, Nebraska, don't ever say we don't say nice things about you. That's Look at us coddling you.
Man, I really wanted to select Rutgers for Rutgers. Like, this is the spot where I wish a team could play itself, that Rutgers could stay.
I mean, we've done this closest as we possibly can.
But you're picking for Maryland.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really wish I could select Rutgers twice, is what I meant here.
The closest thing you can do, what's the closest thing you can do to that, picking Michigan State?
You know what? I think Ryan's right. I think I got to send him to Indiana.
All right.
Yeah. All right. And just to... practical choices here. Yeah.
So that ends Maryland's dance card with a list of sterling rivalries: Penn State, Rutgers, and Indiana. This is the remainder furniture rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
This makes Indiana's slate Purdue, UCLA, and Maryland.
Which is fine. Like now I actually feel much better that they grabbed that UCLA game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a good call. Good call.
The West Coast grab is a key element in Big Ten scheduling now.
Yeah.
Ryan, this is that's another interesting element too of like they're going to be the belle of the ball in that regard, but like that regard only.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Let's see. Minnesota is full. Indiana is full. Ryan, you are picking the final slot for Michigan State.
And to be clear, my choices are Rutgers, Iowa, and Nebraska.
Yes.
Not Rutgers because they just won't care about that.
It can't be Michigan State because we can't do that.
Correct.
You have this also influences Iowa and Nebraska's remaining schedule because they will have to basically take each other, and I don't know exactly how the math works out, but they don't get to choose after this.
That's fine. They should have gotten better academics.
So essentially what's happening here, Serber, is unless I shouldn't pick Rutgers because that would fuck up the whole schedule. And I wasn't going to pick them anyway. So What's going to happen here is, you're right, Iowa and Nebraska are going to end up playing each other, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, they're going whichever to one I don't pick next, is, and I am giving Nebraska to Iowa.
So I would say I think Michigan State would rather play Iowa. Like, yeah. I think that's they're spiritually similar, and I think in a pinch, Michigan State would rather play three long, like, legacy members of the conference than two in Nebraska.
Who?
I almost feel like that is like someone coming in and that did not have a storyline with either wrestler in the Intercontinental title match and interfering with the match at WrestleMania to set up a SummerSlam storyline.
That is 100% what it is.
Absolutely what is happening here. So that makes Michigan State slate Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa. I don't hate that.
That's fine. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Penn State is next. They are through with Rutgers, Maryland, and USC. This leaves me to fill Iowa's final slot. And I am giving them Nebraska because I don't care that y'all don't like playing each other.
Kiss.
You wanted to be, yeah, make out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at this point, it's like Iowa would pick Nebraska over playing Rutgers.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
So that leaves Nebraska with a final selection of Rutgers and a final dance card that goes Wisconsin, Iowa, Rutgers, which actually isn't that bad. And this leaves Rutgers with Penn State, Maryland, Iowa, with also, hey, listen, actually not that bad. Hi, is a good ceiling.
Rutgers came out clean here.
Yeah.
Rutgers did fine.
Maryland, Iowa. Yeah.
Again, this is largely reflective of, like, Nebraska has a very stupid schedule here. I should say, Nebraska has a schedule that's like, why did you join this conference to play these three schools over and over again? But because we did this based on bullshit academic rankings, Nebraska, you were fucked. I'm sorry.
Which, be better, fake school nonsense. But you guys love these bullshit academic rankings, so you can't get mad at us.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think UCLA got fucked. Like they joined the I'm not mad about it. They joined
y'all
the Big
to tag
Ten
along
and they
so goddamn badly.
They play a team
go.
They already played and Indiana and Northwestern. They get not Ohio State, not Michigan, not Michigan
is,
State. They don't even get fucking
stark.
Nebraska.
It like, is pretty stark when you compare. We gave USC and UCLA each other. Holly, we didn't have to auto-draft for any of Jason's other picks for UCLA, right?
No,
what was
no,
Jason's
he got
ranking?
He got the first
what did
pick.
Jason's ranking look like?
Jason's draft board for UCLA went as follows. Number one, USC, SMH. Number two, Nebraska. Number three, Illinois. Number four, Indiana. Let's skip football and remember some basketball guys.
Okay.
So we were of one mind there. Number five, Michigan State. Some history and little brothers got to stick together. Number six, Maryland, spiritually a Sun Bowl. Number seven, Rutgers, not because of bi-coastal comedy, because the whole point of adding Rutgers to your conference is getting to play Rutgers. And then he says, Nebraska, Illinois, and UCLA have a weirdly high amount of long-term history, balanced results, and really big games. Plus, they're within a scant 2,000 miles. They're without question two of the three best choices, and that's insane. LMAO.
Yeah. Mostly when you compare UCLA, who got Indiana and Northwestern as their non-USC opponent, and USC, who got Ohio State and Penn State, is a bleak comparison, yeah.
So we ended up with, on Jason's big board via other schools, we ended up with his number one choice, his number four choice, and Northwestern.
That's not terrible, though. Because what happened here was less UCLA. This was more like why the other schools want UCLA and USC.
Yeah.
To recruit in California. To go to California. To, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is fine.
I think it's fine.
It's not real, so.
Yeah, there's some, listen, the most robust.
I mean, it's real now. I'm looking at it.
There's some hardy Midwestern scheduling in here. And if I did look at it from at least a, like, very cynical perspective,
you say
that UCLA got screwed.
Yeah.
Okay. Kinda. But One, they want to keep that USC thing because that's an identity thing. That's an identity game.
It's also an expense thing.
It's also an expense thing because UCLA kind of got to think about that for a minute till them Big Ten checks come rolling in. And then the other two games, manageable and near relatively large airports. So
it might be worth noting that, yes, like you can consider their trading in Utah for Indiana. Like they don't have to get their shit kicked in by Utah anymore. They do have to go to Indiana in November.
They don't have to go to Washington time, State. Not that different.
They don't have to go to Corvallis. Right? They don't have to go to Pullman.
You're right. Both of those schools come out golden here. You're right.
Also, UCLA, when in UCLA's football history have you ever said, no, you need to toughen up that schedule? No.
That's true. That's true. Penn State is the one, I think, who has the most to go back to Holly's thing about, like, does this move push other teams down? Penn State not having either Michigan or Ohio State as a permanent rival, and instead having to have both Rutgers and Maryland, who don't give you any of the like Big Ten history, but also they got to win the USC game basically a lot of years.
When have we ever looked at somebody from either the SEC or the Big Ten and gone, like, we have a problem with their strength of schedule? Yeah, one thing I look for in scheduling, too, is to go, okay, have we paved the way for the bottom of the schedule strength-wise to class up? In other words, have we hit the only real lever that we have outside of changing how we do the sport in the first place? Have we really hit that lever and sort of managed to sort of get some kind of equality, right, some kind of parity going? I don't know if we've done that, but there's definitely opportunities for that at the bottom of the conference. Like, I think Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, Northwestern, dude, win those. Win them. Those are all three totally winnable games for you under some competent management and decent recruiting.
We have created some television challenges with this.
Go on.
I don't know how often.
This is the smart conference. Let them figure it out.
I don't know how often let's pick one. UCLA, Indiana. I don't feel like that's going to be getting a lot of prime slots.
Blue team, red team.
Yeah, there is that. Mm-hmm. It is pleasing to the eye.
It is pleasing to the eye, yeah.
But you know what? It's not our fault. We didn't make them Rutgers and Maryland and Nebraska into this conference.
Yeah, this is not our fault. They wanted to do this.
Yeah.
But it's a corollary to what Jason says. The point of having Rutgers in your conference is to play Rutgers. Y'all knew all the school. I'm almost positive that y'all knew who all the other schools were.
Also,
when we were joining in. Also, we could take the basketballness of the rivalry and play this game and only this game outdoors each year on an aircraft carrier.
Also, are you really looking for any Indiana game to really carry a primetime slot? You're not. Did you treat your show ponies pretty well? You did. Michigan has Ohio State, Minnesota, and Michigan State. That's solid.
Yeah.
Ohio State has Michigan, USC, Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our feelings for certain of these schools aside, if these conferences operate anything like our home conference does, the feelings of Indiana within the walls of that room do not super matter. Much as we might wish otherwise.
Okay.
You know, Penn State
should have forced Chicago to play football again. That would have been the answer here. The best
Chicago
academic
Western
school
Michigan. Western Michigan, Chicago's football team. We've been over this.
I think the University of Chicago would be happy with the saying, the market makes no mistakes, and they don't play football for a reason.